The high portion of today's episode is brought to you by King Louis XIII.
Only the best for your highness.
George. Welcome to Hind Inside, the only baseball podcast.
We haven't talked about this yet, but I'm beginning to think that's not true.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Cool. So, I have a pretty healthy amount of EBTs.
Get to them.
So, one day this weekend, two rookies, one in each league, hit three home runs in a game.
That's crazy. In the same game?
In different games. Okay. One in each league. So...
I like going, did you mean an even crazier thing that happened? And you're like, well, no. And then we talk about what really happened.
Yep, that's what happened. I tried to make it pretty clear. Different leagues.
I'm like, it's that dramatic? And you're like,
never said same game. You said that.
Not quite that dramatic at all.
Aristides Aquino for the Reds, who was only recently called up, hit three honest-to-goodness home runs against the Cubs. And I say that because Yordan Alvarez for the Astros hit three home runs that weren't as honest-to-goodness against the Orioles. The fact that they're against the Orioles makes them less honest-to-goodness. Fair. But the third one was also off of a position player because they were winning 23 to some odd.
Sure.
So his has an asterisk.
It counts the same, but kind of doesn't.
His has an asterisk. Aristides, I think, is the clear, like, more exciting player in this story. I mean, if we're talking about the Orioles, you also have to talk about how Gleyber Torres has just absolutely historically owned them this year. This is his second year in the league, but he has 13 out of his 26 home runs for the season only against the Orioles. So that's the kind of team that we're talking about.
That's half.
My last note that doesn't have to do with any of the rest of this is that Yasiel Puig became a U.S. citizen today.
Oh, good for him.
Apparently he did that during
his suspension
that he suffered.
Does he also have to serve like a citizenship suspension for a couple days?
I'm pretty sure that he did it during his suspension because they played today, but he like posted a picture of himself.
That's very
like,
funny.
Getting his citizenship, so hey, yeah. You know what? More power to him. He's also playing super well for the Cleveland so far. That was really all I had.
Oh.
Just trying to keep it tight.
I was kind of expecting more.
I was trying to be tight. I was trying to get it all out.
I was like, oh, this is a whole... I'm looking at a notebook you have, and there's... It's
the other stuff is Brave stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't looking closely enough to read your rating.
I read half of it so far.
Man, I expected so much more. I wasn't prepared to talk about anything. But I feel like the thing that we do have to talk about, because what we went to a game.
We did.
We went and saw the, I was going to say Braves, because we usually see the Braves. But we went and saw the Pirates play the Angels in Anaheim last night, which would have been Tuesday the 13th.
Yes.
I don't know if that's right.
It is.
And it was kind of a blast. I think there's lots of things I want to talk about. I want to talk about the stadium, but I kind of want to talk about the game, and I want to talk about the state of the Pirates because the Pirates won the game 10-7.
Yeah.
And I don't think I know how to tell if a team is bad in baseball. Aside from record, is the thing I was thinking about is like if you have a bad quarterback on an NFL team, he's not gonna throw for like 400 yards and throw like four touchdowns and no interceptions. They just can't ever get to that height. But 10 runs seems like a lot.
Yeah, I guess my
like what where's the line that a team that's bad couldn't possibly hit? Is there one in baseball?
My counter to this example and possible like answer to this question is what if that quarterback is playing against the worst defense in the league, say? Like how can you not you know, consider the opponent as well.
I don't know. I mean, I would argue, I would love to see the best game by the worst quarterback. but yeah, I would think that even then they would have trouble doing that.
Interesting.
I'm sure I could pull stats if I wanted to, but I'm not going to.
It does seem difficult.
Here's the thing about the Pirates. In their last, they're terrible. They're awful. They lost 15 games in a row or something coming from the All-Star break. They just went they lost tonight, but now counting tonight, they won 2 out of 3 games, putting up 9 runs, 10 runs, 10 runs.
Yeah.
Almost a 10-run average in 3 games.
Yeah.
Like, that can't be bad.
Yeah.
That's different. That was 2 different opponents, different pitchers, obviously. When we were at the game watching it, they have players that are good.
Yeah.
Josh Bell's found his form again, and when he's playing to his ceiling, he's great.
Yeah, they're saying that his benching helped him out a lot.
Yeah, Kevin Newman is having a great season. Brian Reynolds is having a great season. Starling Marte would start on most teams in the league, if not all. Like, that's 4 out of 9 guys. Moran's hitting for average. Osuna's hitting .311. Like, they have,
you're practically leading the league in average.
They're like 6th in average or something. They're like top 10 at least.
Yeah.
So, like, how bad is bad? Like, I don't know. Like, because I got suckered in last night because the game was so fun. They put up so many runs that I was like, you know what? This team still, they're not going to do anything this year, obviously. But, like, we have some pieces that are good, and I'm excited to watch them.
Yeah.
But is it just because I don't know what badness looks like? Can a bad team still average 10 runs a game over a 3-game stretch? Is that not unheard of?
I think that this season, that is not unheard of. I think that's part of what has to be faced about the 2019 season, is that, like, every game has been so high scoring that even some, like, lackluster offenses have just pounded in runs.
I guess the question or the stat we should look at is, what is the average score of a game this year?
It's probably pretty high.
That's got to be somewhere.
Yeah, it's probably pretty high.
Because 10 runs doesn't seem like a given at all.
Absolutely not.
What, like, 10 runs would equate to me seems like 40 points in football.
Yeah, that's probably not a terrible. Well, consider that some games have scored up to like 23. So yeah. Do you think football games could score up to, you know, 80?
No.
Right. Yeah. So you might have to like wheel it back. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
I mean,
football tops out at what, 70?
They did have one game last year where I think it was that Chiefs Rams game where both teams scored like in the 50s or something. It was like absurd.
Right. So
it probably doesn't scale up the same way in the sport because time is so different.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That it's much more finite.
But I guess to put it simpler, is a bad team putting up 10 runs an aberration? Is it something that doesn't happen too often?
I would say that I can't. I just don't think I could say that because even the Orioles, who are awful, have had games where they put up a ton of runs.
Is it kind of like a broken clock thing?
I really think that's part of it, but I also think that
But I want you to say the opposite because it's keeping me engaged, and I don't think you're picking that up.
That's what so I'm you want me to just say that no bad teams I don't even know what you want me to say.
I want you to say the Pirates have some great offensive promise.
Give me my script before the show.
and they're worth watching because they're going to be a force to be reckoned with when they get their pitching.
I feel like
out.
I was trying to say that they were they're practically leading the National League in overall average. Like, you can't say that's a bad team. I already said that.
But you can because they lost 15 of 17 out of the break, right?
Yeah. I just think that the nature, I think what you're getting at is that, like, it's impossible to, on a game-by-game basis, like, fully judge a team.
Yeah, I think it was so confusing to go see that game because it was like, the Pirates suck. Well, they went down 3-0 early. And I was like, a run. They slowly crawled their way back. scored runs like three innings in a row. Josh Bell hit a home run, which was super fun to see because I said going into the game that that was the one thing I wanted to see.
Yep.
I was like, I just would love to see him hit a home run. That was awesome. He did. Brian Reynolds hit a home run.
That was awesome, too.
Vasquez came in to close the game in a save situation after they gave up a couple runs in the ninth, but they were still up. They bring in Vasquez. He pitches one pitch, induces a ground ball into a double play. Game's over. One pitch save.
That, like, those three things. Like, your rookie who might get a batting title, your MVP of the team,
yeah,
and your other MVP of the team in the closer doing the coolest things they could have done is, like, such a huge takeaway.
Yeah. It's like,
I think what I was trying to get at early on is that, like, the Angels are also just scuffling right now. Like, they're just, like, they've lost in the teens since the All-Star break as well. Like, they're also playing so bad, so it's like that immovable force, like,
yeah, versus another immovable force. Like, but even
something's got to give. What's that, Diane Keaton?
I think Diane Keaton. And Jack Nicholson?
I think so.
Something's
got to give like that.
But I think the Angels are even an example of what I'm talking about. This because Mike Trout's the best player in the league.
True,
but he's on a shit awful team.
Yeah.
And, like, those things can just both happen.
You know who the number one and number two prospect were in baseball last year, depending on who you were talking to?
Who?
Ronald Acuna Jr. and Shohei Ohtani. So right. It's like they have literally two of the best, most exciting players in the league. And they
So the Braves both have two veterans on top of their game, Trout and Say Freeman.
Yeah.
Two of the most promising young players in Acuna and Ohtani, to switch the order of the teams this time.
Make it very easy to follow.
I guess my question is this. I feel like every fan of a sport says that that sport that they're a fan of is the ultimate team sport. And the argument for baseball would be you just have to have so many players to perform well for your team to even be close to good.
I really think so too.
Like, if you have the best player in the NFL, it's likely going to be a quarterback and you're going to be good.
Right.
If you have the best player in hockey, you can still kind of be bad. Look at the Edmonton Oilers. Basketball, you're going to be good. I don't know how to look at the Pirates because they're terrible. But also, I like this guy. I wouldn't get rid of this guy. I wouldn't get rid of this guy. I wouldn't get rid of this guy. There's like five or six guys.
I mean, it seems like the starting pitching has just been like plagued with
death. Yeah, I mean,
it started off. That seems to be the black hole of the Pirates.
It started off so well, and then it couldn't have gotten worse. Today it was announced that Taillon had elbow surgery, and then he discovered that he needed Tommy John.
His second
Tommy John. So he's going to miss the 2020 season. That's our ace. So it's basically like he's not even on the team.
In my mind, it's also so frustrating because, like, when's the last time he pitched?
It would have had to be, like, April?
Months ago, right?
Yeah.
And he could have had that time to recover if he had, like, it's just worst case scenario. I don't even know if
it would have mattered.
It's so frustrating. But
the pitching fell off the biggest cliff there is.
Black hole in the bullpen.
And they were, and their offense was so hot, like, coming into the break, and they were treading water. They were still in it. But, like, I kind of don't know why. I guess what I'm looking for is, why did what happen? Why did what happened happen? You know, and it doesn't make sense to me, like, aside from they just kind of blew it.
I think that part of our discussion about all of this before has been that part of success throughout a season, especially in a long season like baseball, is keeping everyone healthy. And I think that if you just take, you know, punch after punch to your to your starting rotation like that, that's just enough to, like, sink the shit.
I just kind of, like, I like Bell. I like Newman. I like Reynolds. I obviously like Vasquez. So I want to root for this team. Right. And I would sit here and argue that all of those are good players.
Absolutely.
Reynolds and Newman are super young. Bell's super young. Yeah. His third season in the league.
Right.
Vasquez, he's still pretty young. We have him controlled for at least 3 more years or something. So it's like, shouldn't we be optimistic about this?
To me, it seems like the Pirates have known that and have been trying to kind of build around that, because they could have easily dropped Vasquez at the deadline if they wanted. I mean, not dropped, but you know what I mean.
I think if you would have asked me a week ago, I would have been bummed that they didn't trade him.
Right.
And now I'm kind of like, no, we shouldn't have traded him.
But it took seeing them play a bad team in person to feel that way about it.
It's really rose-colored glasses. All right, that's enough about the Pirates. Before we get into the Braves and how they're doing, because they had another cardiac event of a game tonight. Why don't we talk about just the Angel Stadium in general?
Sure.
And what we thought about it. I'll say this about the Angel Stadium. My favorite thing about a stadium is if it's cheap to get into.
Hell yeah.
So they pass that. The stadium, I think itself, is a little bland.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's a fastball down the middle, man. It still works.
It's just, it's a stadium, you know?
It's a stadium.
You come in, you go, this is a baseball stadium.
There is the green batter's eye. Yeah. There is the water feature.
Yep.
There are, like, it's structured properly.
There's no skyline, which I think really it doesn't have much atmosphere or ambience for that reason. Yeah, you kind of feel like you're somewhere
dropped in the middle of Anaheim.
Yeah, but I don't know, but we've been there twice now and I've enjoyed it both times.
Me too.
I like this. It's, man, when I lived in Pittsburgh and the parts were really, really bad, it's so fun to go to games.
Yeah.
When the team's bad, because it just doesn't matter. And you don't have to care too much. Their food, we had some hot dogs that I was a big fan of.
I liked everything we ate there. And I ate twice as much as I should have. And I feel like that's a ballpark stereotype that I've never surpassed, except for dollar hot dogs at Miller Park.
Oh, God. That's a nightmare. We can't talk about that. They had these jumbo dogs. And you got to put another protein on them. The options were pulled pork, pastrami, or chili.
Mac and cheese, too.
No, mac and cheese was just another topping.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it was chili was the other thing. I thought
that was one of the main ones.
And then you got to pick, you picked one of those additional toppings. Then you picked 3 toppings from a big list. We got hot dogs with pulled pork, shredded cheese, guacamole, and fried onions.
And it was...
They were monsters. They were good,
really
though.
Really good.
It was really good. It was obviously incredibly filling.
This is good, but it is filling.
But it is filling. So that's another, like, good food. Cheap
really
to get into.
I enjoyed it.
What else do you want on that park?
Beer's too expensive, but the food was par for the course in terms of ballpark prices.
Yeah, they had a guy... They had a fun vendor guy walking up and down the stands... trying to sell churros, and he was throwing a churro up in the air and catching
it. Just 20 feet in the air.
Which you later were like, is that a rubber churro?
Can't be a real churro.
To which my question would be, do they make rubber churros?
He might have had a custom made. Maybe it was worth it for the extra churros he sells. I'm saying.
Yeah, because like, I don't think I could throw up a churro, catch it, and not completely crush the thing.
Honestly, even if you had the gingerest of touches, I don't see how half the churro doesn't rip off and fall on the ground. Like, it's not made out of elastine. It's freaking dough.
When you think about it, logic says rubber churro. But I can't. It's a good time. I don't know. I
enjoy myself thoroughly. It was a long as hell game. I mean, 10-7.
Oh, yeah. It was a 10-7 game. It was a 4-hour game. 28
hits, something like that.
It almost went on for 4 hours. I will always, for going to baseball games, I think I like low stakes. I've never been to a really high stakes game.
Yeah.
Like a playoff game or anything that like really, really mattered. Maybe a rivalry game here or there that might have had division implications.
Yeah.
But when the team is bad...
I watched the Braves clinch in Chicago once.
That's cool.
Probably as close as I've gotten to, like, a high leverage one.
But when the team is bad, I feel like the games are more fun because I think I have an anxiety about being an away fan at ballparks.
Mm.
I don't like to do it. I don't like I'm afraid someone, like a shitty fan, will get mad at me.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a beer dumped on me at a hockey game once.
Yeah, so, but you were also beer fueled in that situation, I was drunk were too. You not?
I think there's a I think we talked about this when we talked about being in San Diego. But I think there's like there should be respectful rules for an away fan. Because some people can't handle it. And those people are wrong, but I'd rather just not invite the confrontation, you know?
Yeah, it's still your house.
Right. And we sat in front of a guy who was weirdly wearing a Pirates jersey, but apparently was an Angels season ticket holder.
Yeah, behind. And was a Dodgers fan,
and he was an Angel and Dodgers fan, he said.
Yeah.
Are those teams mutually exclusive? I would think they wouldn't be. They play in different leagues. Who cares?
I wouldn't think so either. It doesn't really seem like they're rivals in much of any way. But he was, like, cagey about the fact that he was a Dodgers fan. He kept saying, like, I'm just a fan of baseball.
Yeah.
But
we were sitting in front of him and then...
Behind
him. And then one row in front of him was another Pirates fan. Who was being very demonstrative.
Yeah, he was drunk.
He was real drunk, having a good time. Wasn't good natured about it, was he?
Yeah. He was definitely rubbing it in a little too much, but it was just because he was excited and drinking, and he was being the mayor of our section. Right. He was, like, talking up everybody.
And, like he had said multiple times, it's like, we don't really have much to cheer about.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're here, they're on the West Coast, I'm seeing them, I'm gonna have a good time.
Right. And to his credit, seems like he, like, sees a lot of games and, you know, follows the team at least to
some Angels extent. Fan was totally nice, didn't take too much offense to it, talked to us a little bit. Can I tell you what my favorite thing to do at a baseball game is that has nothing to do with baseball?
Sure.
It's sit behind someone who's much older than me and see how gigantic their font is.
Oh, on their phone. Yeah.
And just watch them reading texts. Three characters at a time and scrolling.
Yeah, I have seen some wild stuff in that way. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw a guy texting his mistress once because of that.
You can just read it because it's like, dude, the size of the phone.
How can you cheat on someone when they could see your phone from across the room? Like, how are you?
The largest text.
What are you doing?
Oh, I love it so much.
I will say, the guy in front of us, I was more worried about him than I ended up really needing to be.
Really?
His hat literally had stitched Heckler on the back. You could tell that he was being like, you didn't notice that?
I did notice that, but I don't think I thought anything about it.
Oh, he like, that guy goes to games and like vocally tries, like he purposefully wore the other team's stuff even though he's from L.A.,
Yeah, but he was
that's like
yelling.
What he gets out of it. Yeah, every time.
But it wasn't like good heckling.
No.
He kept saying, you can do it.
That he was like doing the Rob Schneider. You can do it.
It shouldn't say heckler. It should say water boy.
It was really interesting. Like, I couldn't believe that you didn't bring that up about him.
Oh, I know. I don't think I even tracked it. I think when you said it said heckler, I'm like, yeah, I can see that. But I don't think it even registered to me. Because
when I saw him sit down, I was
heckling.
Like, I'm going to hate this guy before we leave. And he was like, fine.
Yeah.
Because he just wasn't that, like,
if
he wasn't that
heckles.
Aggressive about it. He was just kind of like mostly heckling Pujols. He's a first baseman.
Yeah.
Like, the guy obviously goes to a ton of games. Like you said, he has two season ticket packages. And he follows the sport, you know, he knows who gets hot and who doesn't, like...
Yeah, he knew what he was talking about.
A part of what frustrated me about him is that he was choosing to see practically everything through a negative lens. So much so that, like, someone brought up the Rays, and he was like, the Rays, they have about as much chance of going to the playoffs as the Angels do, which... isn't true.
Which is like patently, demonstrably untrue.
I'm pretty sure they're in the wild card game right now. So like if the record is different,
that's not a true statement.
Right. So it's like he has an understanding. He has an understanding of like the game somehow, but he's still like negatively, like he wants to tear every like player and thought down.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly can't. identify with anyone who's negative and hyperbolic.
Hey, listen what I say. Oh, California, two teams. That's really my piece about him is, like, I was expecting worse than he was, and none of his heckles. His heckles were weirdly basic.
Yeah, it was like just like, hey, player name.
Yeah, like, he'd be like, Upton, third out.
I didn't love the fact that he seemed to hate Pujols so much. I don't think I really cared about it too much.
I think that he just gets joy out of the process. I don't even think he really hates it. I think it's just like, he's old. Like, sit down.
Because another thing I want to say was it was fun. It's fun to just see Hall of Famers. It's fun to just see Albert Pujols there. Albert Pujols has hit 651 home runs in his career. Only five more people have hit more home runs than him. We were feet away from him.
Yeah.
That's cool to me.
Two Hall of Famers.
Trout was in center field.
Yeah.
We got to see him bobble a ball.
Yeah.
And not really have an effective day at the plate. Like,
it's... Yeah, he got walked at least a couple times. They just didn't want
to
deal with it.
Yeah. It's, like, cool to see someone that great and be like, wow, that's, like, a legend of the game. But then also watch them be, like, a little bit humbled during the game.
Yeah.
And just go like, oh, they're this myth.
It's human.
And then they're human again. It was neat.
It kind of goes back to not being able to gauge a grander scheme of baseball or a player by just watching one game.
Yeah. It's a volume sport. You make it up in bulk. You make it up in volume. Pick it up on the back nine. That's golf.
Series, back nine innings, second game of a doubleheader, still baseball.
Okay, sure. You cut this thing. But yeah, the game was great. It was super eventful. Got to see some home runs. Got to see some of my favorite players play well. Got to see a win out of it. I couldn't have asked for a better game to go to.
You could ask and for anything
doing
more.
This whole thing, paying attention to the sport, made the game so much more fun. You had mentioned how I was, like, visibly excited when we got there. And I was, like, really amped. I was like, this is going to be fun just to be here and see all, like, these guys that I've been watching a lot this
we
year.
We need forks for these monster hot dogs. And you're like, I don't want to miss the first pitch. And I was like, okay, I'm eating it out of the trough.
Also, this has never happened to me in a sports stadium before. I went to the bathroom twice. Once before the game started and once as the game was over. And I was the only person in a goddamn baseball stadium's bathroom twice. That's never happened.
I'm pretty sure same for me. There might have been one person in it one of the times.
I went to the bathroom. There was no one. It was insane.
But there was a decent number of people there.
They showed up.
For a weeknight game.
I didn't mention this to you, but they every once in a while they'd flash up like, make some noise. And people would like, very like, ah. Yeah. Because there wasn't a lot of people there. I swear at one point they pumped in crowd noise.
Oh,
I swear.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Give it to them. They're fine.
I wouldn't be surprised. But there was also on more than one occasion to our left and right, like directly behind us, were little kids getting into the game.
Yeah.
Like, heckler guy was like, you can do it, Pujols. Right, and like a freaking 4 or 5 year old in an Angels hat, Angels jersey, adorable, goes, yeah, you know, echoes the chant. And it was so funny because no one gave a crap about heckler guy saying it. And everyone like died when the little kid joined in.
It is really annoying, annoying to me that like, when I go to games now, I go like, these are events for children to enjoy. And anyone who is like a reasonable human being, like an adult, should just shut up.
I see what you mean.
This as easygoing as possible.
Right.
And I didn't always subscribe to that.
Sure.
But now I kind of see it that way. So
note the aforementioned beer dumped on head.
Right. But yeah, super fun. Let's get into those Braves.
First of all, Beer Dumped on Head is my next D&D character.
Beer Dumped on Head?
Beer
Dumped on Head.
So I think that this transitions into the Braves in at least one way, in that if you had seen a couple of Braves games from the past week, you would not think that they were very good overall.
How are they so good and they suck so bad?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's the phrase I wanted to get out
How are they so good and they suck so bad?
No, it's that it's not that the Pirates are bad, it's that they suck.
I almost brought this up.
Yeah, that's the phrase I wanted to say.
I almost brought this up.
Continue, sorry.
So it seems like the Braves have shifted fully into bullpen by committee mode.
Yeah.
The BBC. Last because the three guys who they've brought in at the trade deadline have continued their struggles. Melanson has blown a save, but he's also been good, like, outside of two appearances. Mm-hmm. The other guys, it took until today, which was, like, seven appearances, I think, for Green to not give up a hit in since he joined the team. His ERA is something like 15. Like, he and Martin both have just these astronomical ERAs. So, with that said, I think the Braves are doing the right thing by seemingly playing a little bit more like classic bullpen and using specialty guys and saying, like, okay, we're going to bring this guy in for this hitter. We're going to bring you in for two outs. And if you put one or two on, we're going to make somebody else clean up the mess. Like, we are kind of doing away a little with that long relief idea. And because we got this depth, we can give the opportunity for people to get a few outs at a time.
Melanson's appearances to me so far have seemed like this. See if you can follow this analogy. When I was growing up, we lived in housing plans, and we lived at towards the end of a cul-de-sac, so we would have block parties where everyone would, like, come hang out outside. The parents would drink. We'd order pizzas or something. The kids would play.
Sure.
Melanson's appearances feel like somebody brought a motorcycle to the block party, and your dad goes, yeah, I used to ride motorcycles. And you go, Dad, you used to ride motorcycles? He goes, yeah, you want to see me go get on it? No. And you're like, Dad, I don't think you can ride a motorcycle. And he gets on, and he starts it up, and he moves, and he wobbles wildly back and forth, and it looks like he's going to fall over, but at the last second, he straightens out, and Ryan, like, rides.
Sure. Yeah.
And you're like, Dad, you didn't have to do that.
Mark Melanson motorcycle, Dad. Yeah.
Motorcycle to the block party, baby.
And meanwhile, Coldplay can't get Gwyneth Paltrow out of his head, and he doesn't even show up in the first place. He's like, no, I've never ridden a motorcycle. I've never seen a motorcycle. I don't know what a motorcycle is.
He's just got too much goop between his ears.
He's got a scoop to goop. Got a scoop to goop. So the other thing is everyone's talking about how they've had just horrible luck. Yeah. I think as a unit. They have a very astronomically impossibly high BABIP, which means batting average on balls in play, has been like 600 for the bullpen.
So any ball that's hit, it's 600. Any ball that's made that with
any ball that's not one of the three true outcomes, a strike, a walk, or a home run, right. Any ball that's in play.
Any ball hit in play has a 6 out of 10 chance of being a hit.
Yes. Gotcha. And that's.
Seems bad.
Awful.
Yeah.
It is like.
That's more hits than outs.
Impossible. Yeah. It's impossible. So anyone who understands stats, who's been looking at that, has gone like, okay, this literally cannot continue.
Unsustainable.
Unsustainable. We said it last week. It's just kept sustaining. over the weekend, I mean, I don't think we can ignore that, like, the worst of these games, the worst loss we've had all season, easily. A comeback loss against the Marlins at the end of the night. Sean Newcomb gave up the winning run, but it wasn't ultimately really his fault that we got to that point. He kicked a trash can in the dugout. A fire extinguisher flew off the wall and burst in front of a giant fan that was blowing into the clubhouse, and it blew the fire extinguisher dust throughout the clubhouse immediately after they lost the worst game of the season against easily the worst team in their division and one of the worst teams in baseball.
That feels only slightly ironic.
It is astronomical. I mean, it's funny because now everyone is just, I mean, tonight notwithstanding, now everyone's just, they had a rough outing on Sunday night too, but we haven't lost since the fire extinguisher burst.
Maybe you put out the fire, baby.
We finally put out the fire. And I think that it's just like one, the bullpen has felt so much like it's just one more freaking thing. Yeah. And that's, again, why I think it's a good idea for them to really be going to a by-committee approach. Right. And to not, so Green.
Hey, if it works, who gives a shit?
Green gets to leave tonight's game feeling good, even though Mark Melanson probably still don't feel so good.
Yeah.
And you know, so now we have like a couple people who are feeling good, and we could just kind of, that's why getting three people all at once was such a good idea, because we would not have wanted to hang it on one person's
real
shoulders.
Shotgun approach.
Right,
it
man.
It seems like a good call. Without being able to procure anyone who is a sure thing, why not just kind of hedge your bets?
Get three, like, second options, basically.
It seems like it makes your manager snicker, like, really have to pick the right, play the right cards and pick the right people. But he did tonight.
Absolutely.
Melanson came in for two outs, and then they brought in some...
Jerry Blevins.
Jerry Blevins, and he pitched three... He struck a guy out to end the game.
Three pitches, three strikes.
But the more times you have to roll the dice, you know?
But it's also coming back to, you know, part of that
BABIP
is that Dansby is still injured.
Right.
So that was one of the other things I wanted to touch on is Dansby is still injured. We don't have a return. Riley is still injured, but he is not going to have surgery on his knee, which was great news. So he could probably be back before Dansby, which is like kind of not great, because we really need that defense. Like, yeah. We're getting by without his bat, but not his defense.
To your point, the Mets scored a couple runs in the ninth, partly because Camargo bobbled a play that should have been a double play to end the game.
Yeah.
So
they didn't score any after that. It would have still been a 6-4 final, I believe. Yeah. But they wouldn't have had to bring in Blevins. Right. They would have been completely out of the game. Melanson doesn't end up feeling even worse. Yeah. Like, it saves your bullpen. He's just not been playing well. Yeah. And I'm not sure that Camargo makes the postseason roster if he continues to look like he has. And we get some health back.
Yeah, if you guys get healthy, yeah.
Right.
Fair.
And then the last thing I was going to mention is that Acuna, Albies, and Freddie have been, like, historically dominant at the top of the lineup. They're really the biggest reason that we've been buoyed through this. It's still been a really long time since we straight up lost a series. It's still been since we got two games swept by the Royals, if I'm not mistaken. So we're still doing fine. We came into these really hot Mets and we took the first two games. Like, I knew that we really had to kind of shut up everybody talking about the Mets. They're back in fourth place in the division. They've had a 1-2 punch of losing their best hitter for average and getting one of their best bullpen arms blown up today. We've definitely taken the wind out of their sails. It's just like, at what cost?
Yeah, you're in that moment with good teams where it's like, well, we're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So now it's about... You're watching the games through this lens of what will this mean in the playoffs?
Right. We have to get Markakis, Dansby healthy. Riley seemingly is going to get back. And I think with everybody there, if we can really calm down, I really think we have the pieces to do well postseason. And I wouldn't have said that if we didn't have these three guys who were struggling in our bullpen.
Watching the game tonight and how like stressful it was just because you wanted them to win, I was like, ooh, I think if they make the playoffs / win, I think that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Even if I won't be that invested, I know you will, but it'll be fun to kind of like hang on the stress of those moments.
I just think they have a really fun team to watch. I mean, Acuna is entering the NL MVP conversation at this point. Soroka is staying in the NL Rookie of the Year conversation. As much as everyone wants to make it about Pete Alonso and Fernando Tatis Jr., like, you cannot ignore that he has the second best ERA in the league. Behind a guy who's like a 10-year veteran. Like, it's how does what more could I want?
What more can you say?
Eric, what's the inside scoop?
Netflix title, or available on Netflix, is the appropriate documentary Screwball, which chronicles how essentially Alex Rodriguez was caught doping.
Juicing.
One of the funny conceits about it is it's a little drunk history.
Yeah.
It does what they do, where someone talks about something and they reenact the event using that person's words as they're talking about it. But instead of being actors, this is children.
Right.
Which is kind of,
Punky,
I think...
Brewster history? I was trying to think of a substitution.
I think it's trying to make that point that, like, look at all these goddamn children.
That's a really good point.
But, and I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't want to spoil some of the things that are, like, kind of absurd about it. Even, like, I will say this. I was shocked that essentially the inciting incident, the thing that really took A-Rod down in this context, is an amount of money that blew my mind.
Yes, especially considering that just today it was reported that he had a rental SUV in San Francisco when he was calling a game there for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. It was broken into, and reportedly he had left upwards of $500,000 worth of cash and jewelry in the car.
And that's a lot of money.
In a rental car in the street in San Francisco. And it is so much more money than what brought him down.
It is. Watch it just to figure out what that number is. That's what I want to say.
So much more money.
A dispute over how much money do you think took down one of the greatest baseball players of all time? Ask somebody that question.
That's a Trivial Pursuit question.
And watch them throw wrong answers at you.
It is wild to have watched that and then read that news story, because I thought the only thing I wanted to say in response to it is, yeah, well, he lost a lot more money over a lot less.
Yeah.
So, like, this is not going to keep him up at night.
I don't know. Screwball. Check it out.